And so on today, moving away from the name teachings, we're going to go into the in Christ teachings. We're going to go into the in Christ teachings. And are you recording? Okay. And with the in Christ teachings, what I want you to get out of this is that God's DNA is inside of you. We read scripture and you see, if you read the Bible, especially Paul's writings, you probably can't get three sentences or three scriptures without him saying in Christ, in him. When the Bible tells you that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, it's an understanding behind that. It's not a statement that we just say or we just write on our shoes. When the Bible says that Christ in you is the hope of glory, it's an understanding behind that. When the Bible says that you are a new creature in Christ, there's an understanding behind that. It's not just a statement. And so on today, I'm going to teach you what it means to be born again. The title of our teaching today will be the Born Again Experience. Because we say that we are saved, but then if someone stops you on the street and asks you, what happens when I'm born again? What happens in the spirit realm when I'm born again? Few people can tell you. Not many can tell you. Did you stop anybody this week and ask them? I told you, ask them. Ask questions. Ask questions. And the best people to ask are Christians. Ask a Christian, how do I pray? Ask a Christian, how do I fast? Why do I fast? What happens after I fast? So teaching is needed. So today, we're going to talk about the born again experience. And our first passage of scripture is going to come from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 23. And it reads, for he was foreknown, he talking about Christ, was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Now that there alone is something you need to understand. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. So God lives in eternity. We live in time and space. Everything that God wanted to do was done before he created time and space. He didn't create the earth, the trees. He didn't create the planets, the galaxies, the universes, and then say, okay, what am I going to do with that? No, everything that he wanted, everything that he desired to do, he did that before he created time and space. So it says, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God. So through him, you are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Verse 22, since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your soul for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And this verse 23, this is our scripture. This is the scripture that I want to be embedded in your mind and your understanding, because whenever you need to get an understanding of how or why you were born again, this is the scripture. Now, the significance of this scripture is that it is coming from Peter. It is coming from Peter. Now, Peter is the one who got the revelation of who Jesus really was. And we'll get into that a little later. It says, for you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. I'm going to read it again. for you have been born again. So he's addressing, you have been born again. Without a shadow of doubt, you have been born again. But the born again process is not of seed, which is perishable. So you have not been born again of a seed that is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living word of God. So we have been born again through seed. The scripture lets us know that you have been born again through seed. But the scripture lets us know, or it states, that we have not been born again of perishable seed, but that we have been born again of imperishable seed. So this is what I want you to get out of this, is the fact that you have been born again of seed. That is important for you to understand that when you were born again, there was a seed that was placed inside of your spirit that made you like God. Now, in this passage of scripture, the word seed is the Greek word spora. It is the Greek word spora, which is a natural seed. Which is a natural seed. Not a supernatural seed. So you have been born again. Now, to be born again is to be spiritually born, is to be born spiritually into God's family after first being born physically into a human family on earth. So you were first born into a physical family, a human family. Then you were born again, meaning that now you have been born into a spiritual family. So when he says you have been born again of seed, and that seed is not perishable, but it is imperishable. Now, there are two types of seeds being presented, perishable seed and imperishable seed. Perishable seed means that you are, that a perishable seed is liable to be corrupted or decay, meaning that it is mortal. So your physical birth, you were born through a perishable seed. But when you were born again, you were born again through an imperishable seed. Imperishable means that the seed is not liable to be corrupted or decay, meaning that it is immortal. It is immortal because this seed gives you eternal life. So you have been born again of seed, but the seed is not perishable. It is imperishable, meaning you can't make a mistake and lose it. The seed that you were born again in the human, as a human, it is perishable, which meaning that this body is going to die. And when you dissect the nature of Jesus Christ, what ends up happening is this. You have his human nature, and then you have his divine nature. His human nature died. His divine nature didn't die. So Jesus died on the cross, but Christ didn't. Christ was sent from heaven. Jesus was born. So this is why in John 3:16, he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Stop. He gave his only begotten son. God is a spirit. No flesh can be God's son. No flesh can be God's child. You are God's child at the spirit level, not at the flesh. This is my mother back here. My father is Jesse. Those are my biological, my physical parents. They are the reason I have this body. They are not the reason that I'm born again. So he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him, whoa, will not perish. Why won't they perish? Because the seed is imperishable. So once you believe in the Son, once you believe in the finished works of Jesus, you get Christ. And Christ is imperishable. So whoever believes in his Son will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. Why? Because the seed is imperishable. So the seed that you were born again through has four qualities to it. One, it is imperishable. Two, it is living. Three, it is enduring. And four, it is the word of God. Now, let's get a revelation of the seed that you have been born again, because Peter let you know that the seed that you have been born again of is not perishable, but it is imperishable. So let's see what the imperishable seed is. Galatians 3 and 13. I'm not going to be before you long. I know I always say that. Galatians 3 and 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So, on the cross, Jesus took on the curse for mankind, which means every sin that could possibly be done in earth was put on him at one time. That's why for you to go back and live a sinful life, there's a curse. God doesn't curse you. God is not the one doing the cursing. The curse is the fact that you have stepped outside of what he has provided for you. So he provided a seed for you in which you can live a sinless life, and you stepped outside of it. And it is no different from, this is my child right here, okay? It is no different from me setting rules and regulations in my household. Long as he stays within those guidelines and those rules and regulations, he's safe. The moment that he goes against those rules and regulations, he'll get in trouble. I didn't curse him. He cursed himself because of his behavior. This is what we're dealing with, because Jesus has already been cursed, been dealt with the curse for us. Verse 14. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we could get the blessing of Abraham. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it is ratified or made official, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now, this is where it gets kind of crazy. Verse 16. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say "and to seeds" as referring to many. So God came to Abraham and he says, look, I'm going to bless your seed. And whoever curses, blesses you will be blessed, and whoever curses you will be cursed. He made a covenant with him that his descendants would be as numerable as the stars of the sky or the sand on the seashore. But this is what I want you to understand. That covenant was a covenant from between God and a human. That's why it says in verse 15, brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Because God made that covenant with Abraham. So it was a literal covenant with Abraham, but to us, it was a figurative promise. And so he says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, which was Isaac. He does not say "and to seeds," meaning as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed. Now he's talking to the church now. And to your seed, that is who? Christ. Your seed is Christ. Abraham's seed was Isaac, but it was figurative. So the Old Testament saints' literal story was our figurative story. So that once we aligned with the figurative story, we would have the Jesus literal life. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 3:3 that your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, so Christ is the seed. Christ is the seed that is imperishable. Once again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. Why will you not perish? Because the seed that you have received when you believed made you imperishable. It is imperishable. And it gives you eternal life. So God so loved the world that he gave his son. But watch this. God so loved the world that he gave his seed. God so loved the world that he gave his seed, that if you believe on his seed, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the law of harvest. Most people think you were born again through the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not the seed. There's nowhere in scripture that the Holy Spirit is the seed. Plus, the law of harvest states whatever you plant, you will reap. So if God planted the Holy Spirit, he could not reap children. He had to plant his son in order to harvest children. Now, when Peter said, you have not been born again of seed that is perishable. Seed there means the word spora. Here, it means the word sperma. So when it tells you that you have not been born again of perishable seed, spora is perishable seed. But sperma is imperishable or incorruptible seed. And it is the word, sperma is the word in which we get sperm from. So, the scripture is telling us what? That Christ is your seed, but Christ is also God's sperm in which we were born again through. Romans 8:3 says this, that God sent his son in flesh. Galatians 4:7 says this, that he sent his son born of a woman. He didn't send flesh to earth. He sent spirit imparted into woman, and woman gave birth to a body. He wants us to know that what was planted inside of the woman is what is planted inside of you. Peter got the revelation in Matthew 16:13-15. Jesus came to the disciples and he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or other prophets. What were they comparing them to? Other men. He looked at, he said, well, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are Christ. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was the son of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus. That's why the scripture said, for unto us a child is born, but a son is given. Mary gave birth to a child. God gave the son. So the word seed, which is sperma, means offspring. It means progeny. This is the DNA of God. Now, this is important for you to know because it's a lot of scriptures that says in Christ. The Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. So because you are born again, you are his righteousness. You're not his righteousness because you're not sinning. You're not his righteousness because of how much you pray, because of how much you fast. You're his righteousness because he made you right through his DNA. So Christ is the seed. Now, let's examine the living and enduring word of God. I love this. I do. Man. Colossians 1 and 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Pay attention now. Verse 16. For through him, God created everything. Now, that's impossible to create everything through a man. So it had to be immaterial. It had to be spirit. He didn't create everything through the body of Jesus. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. It was created through him and for him. If everything was created through Christ and for Christ, and you are in the body of Christ, that's why it tells you all things belong to you. So that's why he tells you, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of this is going to be added to you. Why? Because you are in Christ and it already belongs to you. He's just giving you the formula to get it. Verse 17, he existed before anything else. Now we know Jesus didn't exist before anything else. Christ did. Jesus was born. He probably existed in the thought. And he, watch this, holds all creation together. Verse 18, Christ is also the head of the church. That's why we are called Christians. We are not called the body of Jesus. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. It ain't his physical body. It's his spiritual body. Why? Because we have one commonality in here. If you are born again, we have one commonality in here. Christ in us is the hope of glory. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. John 1 and 1. Y'all sure? Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So now the other scripture just told us that Christ was in the beginning. The scripture in Colossians just told us that Christ was in the beginning. The scripture in Colossians just told us that all things were created through Christ. So how is it telling us now that all things were created through the Word? Huh? Because remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 23, for you have been born again, not of seed that is perishable, but imperishable, and that is through the living and enduring word of God. So you mean to tell me that Christ is the word? Huh? Christ is the word. This is what the scripture is telling us. So we can read it like this. In the beginning was Christ. And Christ was with God. And Christ was God. Christ was in the beginning with God. All things were created through Christ. We just read that, right? And apart from Christ, nothing came into being that came into being. In Christ was life. And the life was the light of men. Well, Colossians 3:3 tells us our life is hid in Christ. Life, living. The living word. Living means having vital power in itself and exerts the same upon the soul, which we'll talk about in a second a little deeper. But understand this. This all happened at the spirit level. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. You're not trying to become a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, but you live in a body because you're on earth. So you are a spirit. You have a soul, but you live in this body. Living means having vital power in itself and exerts the same upon the soul. So what he's letting us know is that you receive Christ at the spirit level. It is a divine nature. It changes your nature. First, you had the nature of Adam. When you were born naturally, you had the nature of Adam. When you receive Christ, you lose the nature of Adam and you gain the nature of Christ. Now, what is in Christ can be exerted upon your soul. Your soul can only think according to your nature. When you were in Adam, all you could focus on was sin and darkness. That's why I tell you, being born again is the first miracle that ever happened to you in your life. Because until you got Christ, your total appetite was to sin. Your soul can only obey your nature. If there's no change in your nature, your soul has nothing to obey. So as long as your soul, your spirit was in Adam, you had a sinful nature. Now that you are in Christ, you have a divine nature. So that's why now you can't just tell anybody off and it don't bother you. You can't be promiscuous now and it don't bother you. You can't just lie and it don't bother you. Why? It was a nature change there. And enduring means not to perish, to last, to stand. And this is because it is immortal. That's why the scriptures told us that in the beginning was the word. It is enduring. The word has always been here. So watch this. So we just read this. When we read it, we replaced the word with Christ. Watch this. In the beginning was the seed. And the seed was with God, and the seed was God. The seed was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through the seed. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In that seed was life. And the life was the light of men. It was a nature change. That's why I said that in that life was the light of men. The word life means there was divine truth in that seed. So in that seed was life. And that life that was in that seed revealed divine truth. Now, the word logos, there's two different words in the Greek when you see the word word. One is logos, one is rhema. All right. Logos is a divine expression of his plans for man and his thoughts towards man. I'm going to say that again. The word logos is a divine expression of his plan for man and his thoughts towards man. So the word logos is God letting us know when it says in the beginning was the word means this. In the beginning, God had a plan for mankind. He didn't just sporadically do something. He had a plan in the beginning. So the word is Christ. The word is alive or has life. And the word has always existed and is immaterial of all things. John 1 and 10. Here we go. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Who is he? Christ. But in this passage of scripture, it's talking about the word. He refers to the word in this passage of scripture. That's why Christ, the word, and the seed are all interchangeable. So he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Here we go. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So let's do some interchanging here. But as many as received Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You have been born again. When you were born again, you became a what? Child of God. So let's do some more interchanging. But as many as received the seed, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So according to this passage of scripture, you were born again through the word. But watch this, verse 14. And the word became flesh. How did that happen? How did the word become flesh? Or did Christ become flesh? Or was it the seed that became flesh? All of them, it's interchangeable. It's saying the same thing. That's why I told you, coming to church is about learning. It is not about your intellectual ability. It is about soul absorption. Because the whole purpose of you coming to church is so the word can be made flesh. Until the word is made flesh, you just know stuff. But you can't live it. Because in that seed is life. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Christ became flesh. The seed became flesh. When it became flesh, it dwelt amongst us. It was on earth. And we saw what God created all things through. We saw what holds everything together. We didn't see it. We saw the flesh it was in. The word became flesh. Watch this. Let's go back. John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his son. He gave Christ. When you received Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross, you received Christ. This is what happened when you were born again. And the seed that you receive is imperishable, which means you don't make a mistake and you just lose it. This seed is there to give you eternal life. Now, we've been together for a little bit. So I can ask y'all some questions. When does eternal life begin? Oh, my God. Say again. Once you accept Jesus Christ, once you are born again, eternal life starts. So you're in eternal life right now. It doesn't start when you die. That's what's been taught. That once you die, no, you're God's child now. You have to make up your mind right now. Am I going to mature in him? It's not about you dying and going to heaven. That's not what it's about. Does that happen? Yes. Does it happen? Yes. When you die, you go to heaven. But that's not what it's about. It's about what type of child are you going to show up as? Are you going to show up as a child that you allowed him to raise you, to walk you through the five stages of sonship? You went from a nepios to a pateon to a technon to an anisko to a weos. And when you showed up to him, you was a weos. You was a fully mature child of God in him. Your work is on earth. That's why Jesus never prayed for you to leave earth and go to heaven. If God just wanted us in heaven, if that was his ultimate goal of what he wanted, then as soon as you were born again, he'd just take you. He wants children on earth acting like him. He wants the kingdom to come to earth, and it can only come to earth through his children. So the word became flesh. He gave his son. So the word is the seed that was in the beginning and is life. The seed is the living and enduring word of God. So if I'm understanding right, correct me if I'm wrong. All right. The word is Christ. Am I right? Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, let me know. Okay. So Christ is the seed. So the word is the seed. So the word logos, the seed, which is sperma, and Christ are all interchangeable. Right? So we are born again of the seed of Christ. According to Galatians 3 and 16, our seed is Christ. Y'all sure? Now, y'all, I could just be telling y'all anything. How y'all know? Oh, because it said it right there. And it's not just me talking. Okay, just making sure. So, this happens at the spirit level, not the soul level. This is why we are trying to acquire the mind of Christ, because we already have the spirit. This is why the Bible says, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. Because the whole purpose of this walk is to align your mind with who you are spiritually. So, the soul needs the Holy Spirit, it needs ministerial care and self-care to be developed in order to align with Christ. What do I mean by this? This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, because what I'm going to do is this. I think I got about the next five messages already. We're going to do the born-again experience, and then we're going to do position in Christ, because you are born again to be positioned. You have to know that position, because that's the position you live from. Your position is the reason why he told you to set your mind. If you are not positioned in Christ, you can't set your mind on heavenly things. He won't even ask you. This is the reason why he says, imitate me. Why would he tell you to imitate him? Because you're already like him. You're like me in spirit, but you're not like me in the way you think. My thoughts are far from yours, as far as heaven is from earth. So the soul needs the Holy Spirit. This is the reason why we need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is an advocate. It comforts, it teaches, it leads, it guides, it instructs, it reminds you. All of that is at the soul level. Your spirit does not need to be reminded of anything. It's already positioned. You're already in Christ. Your spirit does not receive the teaching. It is your soul. Now, your soul has three parts to it. The mind is the entrance into the soul, and the heart is the fountain of the soul. That's why the Bible tells us to renew our mind, but then it tells you that the issues of life flow from the heart. And so it is at the mind, it is at the heart level that the Holy Spirit interacts with us. Your heart is your emotions, it's your feelings. Your mind is your thoughts, it's your imagination. But your soul is the seat and it is the center of your life. So whatever you put into your mind goes into your soul. Once it hits your soul, your will is there. If you allow it to bypass your will, it gets into your character, it gets into your disposition, it gets into your aversions, into your appetite. And whatever the sum of that comes out your heart. So this is the purpose for the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Spirit, and that's why you need a pastor, a prophet, evangelist, a teacher. You need the whole fivefold ministry. You don't just need a pastor. You don't just need a teacher. You need the entire fivefold ministry. You need about five pastors. I'm just being honest with you. The job that the Holy Spirit does to the soul is the same job that the fivefold ministry does to the soul. We are here to conform you to the image of Christ. That's it. That's it. And so you need the Holy Spirit, you need ministerial care, and then you need self-care. So this is the reason why the Bible tells you to read the word. This is the reason why the Bible tells you to study, tells you to pray, tells you to fast. You're fasting because the more you put your flesh up under subjection, Christ rises up. You're dethroning the flesh to put Christ on the throne. Y'all got me riled up. So now, when you are born again, hear me, Christ is infused into your spirit. Am I going to have to prove it to you? Okay. So to be born again is to be born spiritually into God's family. After first being physically born into a human family. John 4:24 says this, God is a spirit. The Bible says that he's the father of spirits. He's not the father of your flesh. Your pappy is. And your mama is. So if God is a spirit, then his family is a spirit. Or spiritual, right? So the birth has to be at the spirit level. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Now, why is he telling them this? Because they've accepted Christ. Once you've accepted Christ, Christ is in you. That body belongs to him because he's the Lord. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. So spiritually, anyone you agree with, you become one with them. Adam agreed with Satan. He became one with him. When you get married, you agree to be married, two people become one flesh. So in the same manner, in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is what? One spirit. That's why you are the body of Christ, because Christ is in you. You are one with him. He is the head. We are the body. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what happens. You become one with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 through 20 or 19. So my last set of scriptures. For the love of Christ controls us. Why is that? Because we have his spirit. So when you got his spirit, you received his nature. So now you're expected to love like him. So the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. So when Adam messed up, we all received his sin. We all received his nature because Adam messed up. So he's letting us know because Christ died for us, we can all receive his life. That's why you have the first Adam and the last Adam. Don't say, it doesn't say the second Adam. It says the last Adam. And how that looks is like this. If I have my marriage certificate, and just for the sake of me teaching, I made a copy of my marriage certificate. This is, you have the first marriage certificate, but then you have the last marriage certificate. You don't have a second, you have the last. Meaning if I destroy the copy in which it was created from, I don't have a marriage certificate anymore. You get what I'm saying? So Adam was the first copy of Christ in earth. But once Christ came from heaven and took on the body, there could be no more sacrifices. That was the last Christ. This is the last Adam. If you don't get it this time, there's no other chance. There's no other opportunity. Verse 15, and he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Y'all getting this? Verse 16, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. So, when I see Chris, I don't recognize him by the flesh. I recognize him as a child of God in Christ. When I see Ola, I don't recognize Ola as Ola. I recognize her as a child of God in Christ. We no longer deal with people according to the flesh. We are recognizing one another as children of God at all times. So therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. So even at looking at Jesus, we no longer look at him according to the flesh. We look at him according to the spirit. Here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how did you get in Christ? You were born again. So if you have been born again, you are in Christ. The scripture says, not me, that you are, he is a new creature. How can you be a new creature? I'm still looking at the same person. The spirit changed. So it ain't about people recognizing our change. Heaven recognizes our change. The Father recognizes our change. The Holy Spirit recognizes our change. That's all we need. I want to say our problem, but I'm going to say y'all problem. Okay. Our problem is we worry about what everybody else think about us. We worry about if everybody else see our change. When heaven sees your change, heaven see what just happened. They seen, heaven is the only one that can see that birth. I take that back. Hell can see it too. So only heaven and hell can see that birth. That's why Satan is highly upset with the believers, because he made one mistake and he could never be forgiven. We can constantly make mistakes and we're right by God. That upsets Satan, because when Satan sees you, he don't see you. He sees Christ. He don't see you. He sees Christ in you. That's what upset Satan, Tanya, is that when he looks at you, he's like, why is she in Christ? So, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So now that I'm in Christ, old things have passed away. What are old things? Which means, watch this. The Father no longer sees me as a sinner. That's an old way he's seen me. He now sees me as his child that needs to be developed. He does not see me as a sinner. He does not regard me as a sinner. Like I told you before, God is not necessarily interested in your sin. He's interested in your maturity. Because before you got saved, you were 100% sinner. You can't get no better at it. You can't get no better at it than what you already were. So now his focus is not your sin, because he sent his son when you were a sinner. He sent his son when you were a part of the world, which were the systems that opposed his kingdom. So if he's going to send his, if he's going to give his son for you while you're against his kingdom, you think he worried about your little? He wants to see your maturity. That's why he says, imitate me. Take on the mind of Christ. He is interested in your maturity. So that's what you should be interested in. You should not be interested in your mistakes. Whatever you did yesterday, it don't even matter today. Whatever you did up until this moment, it doesn't even really matter now. That's not his interest. His interest is in seeing you mature. You are 100% sinner. He wants to see you go from 100% sinner to a 90%, to 80%, to 70%, to 60%, to 50%, to 30%, to 20%. You ask me, I think everybody going to stop at 20. You ask me. I'm just me. This is my theology, okay? Anybody, God didn't say that. The Bible didn't say that. I just don't think that we will become 100% like Christ on earth because of this flesh. This flesh talk. This flesh got an appetite of his own. And sometimes we obey it. Okay. I just seen him. Your life, as well as how you are seen by the Father in heaven and hell, has changed. Those are the new things. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now all these things come from God. All these things come from God. This whole born again experience comes from God. This is not created by man. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So what he's saying, that you were born again through Christ to have a father. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we're not coming to Jesus. He says, I'm the door, which means you come through me to get to a father. We come to Jesus and sing songs. Jesus said, come through me for the relationship. That's why it says that we who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So you were born again through Christ, and he says, now that's your ministry. Go get me more children. Your ministry is to reconcile the lost, the orphan, to the Father. That's your first ministry. Your first ministry is to tell people about how you have been born again and your life has changed, and to advise them to come and do the same. I told you, whenever I'm witnessing or outreaching to people, I always say, you know, God is your Father and He has a destiny for you. You know, the first thing they say, I need to get back in church. I ain't saying nothing about church. I said absolutely nothing about church. I just said, God is your Father. He has a destiny for you. They said they need to start going to church. I didn't say nothing about church. I said He has a destiny for you. How did they associate church with that? Versus me coming to somebody and telling somebody, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and if you don't believe, you're going to go to hell. They never say, I need to go to church. They say, I need you to get out of my face. It's a difference in winning souls. We don't win souls because we don't know the truth. That's why people don't win souls. They don't know how they were born again. They have no idea. This is a gracious, glorious plan. This is not some ultimatum. It's not an ultimatum. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's not how you approach me. You told me if I didn't believe, I'm just going to go. I get eternal life. Meaning that once I believe, Christ comes inside my spirit, is infused, we become one. And from that point on to ever, forever, God is my Father. And He wants to raise me, love me, nourish me, admonish me. He has a predestined plan for my life. And the only reason why I'm living like this is because I'm not on that plan. That's what people need to hear. They don't need to hear the story about hell, because that was never God's plan. Hell is for the devil and his angels. If you want to worship Him or you want to be His child, then you go with Him. It's just like my house, my cars. I'm going to say mine. If she decided she did not want to be my wife, she gets none of that. Because she's my wife, she gets all of that. So if you want heaven and your predestined purpose, you just decide God's going to be your Father. And you're going to get what He predestined for you to be and have. If you decide you don't want that, this is the only option. It's hell. Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ. How is God in Christ? DNA. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In my closing, Christ is our divine nature. That's why you see so many scriptures in the Bible to tell you that you are redeemed in Christ. We talked about the name. You took on the name when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, we just need His mind. Now we need His heart. Now we need the soul of Christ. This is your job. When the soul has been renewed to the nature of Christ, what do you think happens? What do you think happens when the soul is married to the spirit and you become one with it? You get Genesis chapter 1, verses 25 through 27, where He says, in the beginning, God created man in His image, after His likeness, and He gave them dominion. The reason why we ain't dominating is because we are in Christ. We are like Christ. Image is soul. Likeness is spirit. So when he created Adam, he created Adam with his soul and with his image. Christ decided to turn, Adam decided to turn his image over to Satan, and he lost the likeness. So what happens when your soul aligns with who you are in Christ? Dominion. The reason why we're not dominating the planet is because we don't have the mind of Christ. We don't have the heart of Christ. We're not compassionate with sinners. We're not compassionate with people who aren't in the same religion as we are. We're harsh. We don't have the appetite that Christ had. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. You got that? Is that your appetite? We say it, but that's not our appetite. We've been born again, but that's not our appetite. That's not our aversions. We're not in love with the word yet. We have a plan. We have a will. We have how we would like to see things done. That's just not how Jesus operated. So this is what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You get an imperishable seed that cannot be corrupted, that does not die, it does not decay. That seed is the living word of God. Amen. All right, we're going to stop right there for the day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything that was said and heard.